disease. The little test and trace and the continuing search for a vaccine, it definitely feels like we are moving forward, but just with baby steps at the moment. Professor Bertie Squire is Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. He's also honorary consultant in infectious diseases at the Royal Liverpool Hospital. And Bertie joins us again. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Lockdown is easing. It's important for us all, though, to return to some kind of normality, while, of course, we need to be alert. And we do feel as though we are moving. But as I mentioned before, it is baby steps at the moment, but it has to be that way.
Yes, I think returning to some kind of normality is important for all of us. The daily routines that we have of going to work, the things that we're familiar with, like shopping for things that we've done without for the last 8 weeks or more, and being outside and enjoying the good weather. These are important for well-being, but the distancing and hand washing and face coverings on public transport and things that we're going to see, like one-way systems for movement around workplaces, fewer people in work, these lead to a big sense of uncertainty. It'll feel unfamiliar, even though it is really important. And to some extent, it was easier when we were all being asked to do the same thing, which was basically stay at home. But now it's going to be a bit more confusing because different people will be doing different things. But in that, I think it's important to remember that there's also the possibility of thinking about what can we do better as we take these baby steps. Can we think about not always using the car, enjoying the better air, cycling, walking to work when we can. Some of these things that we may have discovered some joy in the last 8 weeks.
We heard Matt Hancock talk about contact tracing. What does it mean and how will it work?
Let me try and take you through the steps. So the way it would work is that if somebody has symptoms, as before, they're asked to stay at home for 7 days, and they go online and order a home testing kit. They take a sample, it gets sent in. If it's negative, they can stop self-isolating, and that's the end of the story. If it's positive, then they would need to continue to isolate, and they would be contacted by one of the government's contact tracers, who would phone them up and ask them about people they'd been in contact with for the 2 days before they started having symptoms and for 7 days afterwards. And they're basically asking for contact of people who they've had a conversation with less than 2 meters away for 15 minutes or more. And so basically it comes down to people who you are, usually household contacts, people you're living with.
Right.
And then the tracers will get in touch with those individuals and ask them to isolate for 14 days. So there's quite a bit of, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've been asked to do this. It's our civic duty. It's been mentioned, but you can just tell there's a little underlying feeling there that if you do not do this, it will become mandatory. And we've got to ask the question, you know, will everybody do that? I suppose it depends on your employment status too. You know, if you're an employee and you have to self-isolate, you know, presumably you get sick pay, you get paid. But if you're self-employed and, yes, you know, you're desperate, you just got back to work after all this and then you're told you can't work again for 2 weeks, you know, people are going to think twice.
Yeah, no, it is still part of that uncertainty. I think it's important just to say that the effectiveness of contact tracing is dependent on the number of things. First of all, people need to take a good sample when they get their home testing kit. So it needs to be a decent sample. If you remember, this is the swab test. The second thing is that the speed of the result is really important. So getting the result out, meaning that people can get contacted quickly. And then, as you say, sticking to the advice. And it's voluntary at the moment, but they may come out and say it's mandatory. I think the thing to hold on to is, of course, that if you do this and you take the test and it's negative, that's the end of the story for you, and you can continue to as normal. But if it's positive and we all stick to this, then the numbers of people for whom the test will be positive will be increasingly small. Mm. So the numbers of people whose jobs are affected by this will get smaller and smaller and smaller, and we'll get further towards that normality.
So the idea, it's about numbers again, this, isn't it? The idea is that, you know, we isolate, the more people who can isolate, who've found to be positive, it means the virus can't say, right, who can I jump onto next? Because I'm not near anybody, so I can't, so I die out. That's the idea behind this.
Exactly right, exactly right. So you remember we've talked about the R number. So basically, as that gets lower and lower, the virus itself is unchanged, but it is increasingly difficult for it to transmit. And there are two ways in which it is increasingly difficult. The first is the one you've just mentioned, that just access to the next person has been taken away because they're self-isolating, because they're good at washing their hands, because they are good at staying socially distant. So the access has got less. And the second is that the number of people in the community who are susceptible will be less. And that's as a factor of two things. One, unfortunately, that many will have, of the really susceptible people, may have died. And the second, which is more hopeful, is that those who have been infected and recovered are, now have some immunity. So even if the virus gets to them, it's not going to cause them to be ill and to transmit again.
It's really interesting to talk to you about these various things. And you mentioned well-being before. We found ourselves watching the press briefings and waiting for the graphs and waiting for the numbers. And I think everybody's done this. And you have to stop and check yourself. You know, we say things like, oh, there's only 130 today. And then you stop and you think, that's 130 people who have families. And I think everybody's just found themselves doing that and stopping and just checking themselves in that way. But that's human nature, isn't it?
Yeah. I think so. And you're absolutely right. We should not underestimate the effect of the numbers of deaths and the effect that's having on people. But it is encouraging to see that the number of deaths is basically halving every 3 to 4 weeks since the peak on the 8th of April. So it is going down by half. It feels less good than, in a way, it feels too slow, doesn't it? Because when the numbers were rising, we all knew that they were rising, you know, doubling every 2 to 3 days. So halving every 3 to 4 weeks sounds like a long tail. And it is. But it is important to hold on to the fact that it is coming down.
And we're going to ask you for your weekly crumb of comfort in a moment. So I'll let you think about that, because we do like that. But just to finish with, we've heard that some other countries across Europe in particular have now dropped their 2 metres to 1 metre now. Do you see a time when we just won't social distance at all? Or maybe we'll just do it voluntarily because, you know, we've been conditioned to do it and we're just a bit more aware. But can you see a time when the 2 metre thing will go?
I think I can see a time when that will go, but I do need to say that my feeling is it will be some time in the future, several months, I think, maybe even a year or more. And that's because we still don't know so much. So I think that is coming, but I think we've learned, lots of us have learned a slightly different way, as you say, being a bit more aware, being a bit more aware of space. And I think that's going to stick with us for quite a long time.
Yeah, we're definitely washing our hands more, probably every 10 minutes for some people, which is not a problem. Dude, look at your skin. And Bertie, we can't let you go without your crumb of comfort, because we love this. What have you got for us this week?
Okay, so my crumb of comfort this week is that we're lucky that we can learn from other countries. So there are those countries that, like Denmark and Austria, where they've lifted some of these restrictions in the same sort of way that we're just beginning now. And as yet, they haven't seen a further spike. So I think there's comfort in seeing that it is possible. I think maybe we need to learn from some of those countries and think a bit about, as Matt Hancock puts it, our civic duty and our concern for our fellow being. But I think that that's my crumb of comfort for this week.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. I love those crumbs of comfort.
I know.
That's brilliant. I love it.
We could have put them all together by the end of all this and hear
a little
of
bit
all
of music.
This.
Yeah. That'd be great. Bertie, thank you. There's Professor Bertie Squire, who's Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, also Honorary Consultant in Infectious Diseases at the Royal Liverpool Hospital, and he's actually got that title on a badge. It's about this big. It's huge. BBC